Welcome to another episode of the CJ McCollum Show. It is currently Monday, April 22nd, and we're in the midst of the playoffs. We are in the midst of the playoffs. We unfortunately dropped a game last night against the Thunder. It was a really good game. I think the most competitive game of the playoffs, I would say, based on what you've seen.
You know, the Knicks game, Knicks and Sixers was also a competitive game. But to be honest, the rest of the games have not been. So thank you for helping the weekend.
Yeah, no, we mean we
would have loved. I guess I shouldn't say thank you. Sorry. Yes, you would have loved to win.
Lost. Yeah, we would love to win and win in blowout fashion, but it wasn't that type of game. It was more Eastern '90s. It was more Eastern '90s vibes, I would say. Very physical, very, very physical half court game. Not a lot of transition baskets, not a lot of free throws, not a lot of three pointers made, but pretty good execution for, you know, most of the game. Would have liked to get some possessions back, I think, collectively for all of us, but that's the playoffs. It's going to be physical. It's going to be fast paced at times, and you got to be able to execute down the stretch of games. And we were right there. Obviously, I had the ball for the last possession and missed a shot at the buzzer or close to the buzzer.
We're not going to do it. I'm not going to try to do a, walk me through or what was going through your mind type question. But
no, I mean,
what was that play supposed to be? And what do you think happened on that final shot?
Yeah, it was about 13 seconds left. We ran a play, got a switch, and I drove, went left to right, crossover, right to left, crossover. I don't know if he looked like he got a piece of the ball, deflected it. It was good defense. Ball kind of went back, and then I made a play, step back, pump faked it, stepped through, and missed it slightly long. But it was good defense on his part. I should have been able to get us a better shot down the stretch. But as I said during the post game, I think, obviously we would have liked to win that game, and obviously I would like to hit that shot, but I don't think the game should have came down in that. We had some possessions throughout the game where we could have put them away. We had a couple turnovers, a couple missed shots. We had one possession where we got about four rebounds. I missed a kick out three. I think B.I. missed a three. We had some open looks that, we would like to have back that could have potentially put that game away. But, you credit them. They did a great job of protecting home court. Their fans were lively. They were out,
Yeah, that OKC fan base does know how to show up in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is loud atmosphere. They did take advantage of you guys in on the break, right? 22-7 advantage in transition points. Jonas though was huge for you guys on the offensive boards. Obviously, how do you call game ones in the playoffs? Is this, do you approach it as a feel out game? Is that your mindset in playoff series?
Yeah, I think both teams have a game plan and they try to execute it based on a lot of what happened in the regular season, which is completely different. And for us, we've obviously been playing games almost every other day up until this point, with the play-in and the implications of what led us to this point in terms of how close we were in the race. The Thunder obviously clinched first place. They had some back and forth, but I think Shea had missed some games down the stretch. Maybe something was bothering him from an injury standpoint. They were just kind of getting him ready for the playoffs. And they played well, I think, for us and for both teams. It's a bit of feeling it out, figuring out rotations for playoffs. I think they play like 11 players, figuring out sets they want to run early in the game versus late, down the stretch. Every team has their comfort, their comfort sets, their comfort plays. And, the playoffs becomes more of a jump shooting game. A lot of times because of the switching defenses where, some teams post up, some teams ISO, you kind of go through the different layers there. But I think for us, JV was great and, a huge interior presence for us, rebounded the ball, finished well around the basket. I think he got, some of our only free throws. I don't know if he shot, seven or nine free throws. I think they shot like 13. Wasn't a lot of free throws shot throughout the game, which kind of indicates, playoff atmosphere of referees kind of letting you play. But I think there's adjustments that are made game to game. And I think that's the the science behind the playoffs is, you know, the team that wins, you know, kind of tightens up some things and tries to do more of the same. The team that loses tightens up some things and then eventually, you know, shows some adjustments. So I think that'll be the chess match to watch throughout not only our series, but all the other series is what types of adjustments are made on a game-to-game basis. And then how do you adjust in-game to kind of get what you want and accomplish what you want, which is ultimately to win.
Yeah, and it's also just like the individual matchups too. I mean, in looking at their personnel, obviously Chet Holmgren had a, you know, big mark on this game, specifically on the defensive side, you know, 5 blocks. You know, it's 15 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 blocks in his first playoff game, you know, for a rookie to kind of step up on that stage. I mean, obviously you're not going to lay out, you know, your game plan here heading into game two, but that wouldn't be very smart. But you know, what was your takeaway from just his performance and his impact in that game, and how, and you know, what you guys could do going forward to kind of be more effective against their defense?
Yeah, I mean, they're a really good defensive team. Obviously, Dort, you got, you know, Williams, the Wallace kid. You got a lot of different, you know, length and ability to switch, you know, based on how they rotate and sub. And then obviously you got Chet in the middle protecting the rim, and, you know, he's able to mix up coverages, being in a drop. He can protect the rim. He can get to the roller. He blocked a lot of shots. Obviously he had 5 blocks, probably none more important than the one he had on Larry. The one where he caught the ball in the pocket and, you know, it looked like he had an easy layup and, you know, he blocked it, which is, you know, impressive, especially being able to play in the pocket and do both. He's kind of showing his versatility and, you know, how ahead of the curve he is for a young player in this league. But I think for us, it's just about, you know, continuing to execute, continuing to have game plan discipline and being aware of where he is. You know, he's a really good rim protector. He's a good shot blocker. And he's a guy who has impacted games all season long for them. I think he's one of a couple of rookies. I think him and Wallace played 82 games this season. So that shows you the consistency and how they've continued to get, you know, reps at a high level throughout a season. But I think for us, it's, man, getting back to our identity and continue to work on our game plan discipline. I think that'll be really important for us. But knowing where the shot blockers are is also important.
Do you need more out of BI? You know, you mentioned Dort, you know, he finished 0-8. When Dort was the primary defender on him, you know, do you like, obviously with Zion out, the onus is falling on the shoulders of the two of you guys. What are the discussions both you and BI are having in terms of, you know, leadership here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's well known that we have to be efficient. We have to be more efficient. We got to take care of the ball. We got to value possessions, and we got to make the players around us better. I think that's really important. I think when you do those things, the game kind of settles down for you as guys continue to get more comfortable, as we continue to make more shots. You know, we miss some open shots, myself included, miss some threes that would normally go down, especially the uncontested ones. I think those are the ones that are frustrating, you know, missing uncontested jumpers that you have gotten throughout the course of the year, but also throughout the course of your career, that, you know, will go down with the reps and with the consistency and the mindset that you have and that we have collectively. I think that'll help first and foremost, but also, you know, this is a guy coming off of an injury, continuing to get more comfortable, jumping kind of right into playoff atmosphere, right? Coming back for the Laker game, playing game, and this being his, you know, I think this is his 1, 2, 3, 3rd, 4th game since he's returned from injury. So I think all of those things play a factor in the comfortability. Really good defensive team, really good defender in Dort, and he knows what he needs to do. He's watching the film. He's figuring out ways to be better, and we're figuring out ways to help him be better collectively. And we're not really worried about him specifically. We know his mindset. We understand how he approaches the game. And, you know, the positive, encouraging news is that, you know, we didn't shoot well collectively as a team, and we still had a chance to win it down the stretch. And I think historically, you know, good defensive teams give yourself a chance to win games in the playoffs. And, you know, we did that with our defense.
20 lead changes. Did it feel like just back and forth?
Yeah, a lot of back and forth. Momentum swings. Obviously, they went on a couple runs. We went on a 16-6 run at one point, you know, in the fourth quarter. And that's what you're going to see in a playoff game with good teams. You're going to see runs. You're going to see both teams throwing punches, and really about how you respond and how you sustain a high level of play for 48 minutes. I think that's the key. And the team that does that the longest throughout a game is usually the team that's going to win. And that's what we've seen throughout some of the other series as well. Teams being able to sustain a high level of play, high level of game plan discipline, taking care of the ball, getting out and running in transition, all those things make a difference in the game and the game flow.
Well, you guys have been going, you know, I mean, you've been in the playoffs for the last week while people just started last weekend.
Yeah, basically.
You know, obviously the game against the Lakers and then the Kings. And then now starting this series in OKC, and that's where you are right now. What's this feeling like, you know, start of the playoffs, you're in between games, sitting in your OKC hotel room, like, what's the adjustment for you to go from, you know, winner and in, winner out into right into a 7-game series?
No, I think it is a big difference because, you know, in those games, it's essentially single game elimination, right? You lose, you go home. So you just kind of focus on, you know, that moment, focus on that game. In a series, you obviously focus on that game in that moment, but there's game to game adjustments. You obviously are traveling. You're going from playing on the road to playing at home at some point. Both teams are going to make adjustments throughout the game. You have more time to kind of prepare. You know, in the playing game, it was like, bam, you know, game. Right. Day off game, we get 2 days in between. So you have more time to kind of prepare and watch film. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, teams and players get, you know, paralysis by analysis where they just kind of overanalyze too much. I think sometimes you watch the film, you take it for what it is and you figure out how you can be better and move forward. And I think that's been my approach. Watch the game, you know, figure out how I can be better on both sides of the ball and kind of go from there, understanding that is a long series. It's not the first to one, it's the first to four. And I think that's the mentality that I've always taken with the playoffs is, you know, each game is a little different. The atmosphere is what it is, but in terms of execution, game flow, play calling, a lot of, you know, subtle changes will be made throughout individual games as you progress through a series.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Did you watch any of the other playoff games? Is there any, which game, you know, stood out to you the most?
I watched some of the Sixers,
Knicks
game.
Did you see the Embiid play and injury live?
Yeah, we had just finished practice and I was coming in and turned on TV before I went in the shower and I seen him throw it off the backboard and I was like, ooh.
I know, right. It went, ooh. That was nice.
Then he held his knee and I was like, oh, this isn't good.
And then that look on his face when he was laying on the ground. Yes.
He looked really nervous. And I know this isn't the first time he's left the game since he's returned. So I'm just hoping for the best for him. You never want to see players go through injuries, especially, you know, this time in this part of the season. And we're seeing that consistently for a lot of different teams. And it's unfortunate. But I watched that game. I watched some of Dame and the Bucks against the Pacers. That was like right before us. So it was like watch some of it. And then, you know, our game started. And I watched a little bit of the Clippers Dallas, which was right before us. The flow of these playoff games has been interesting in terms of the timing of them, but also in terms of what we're seeing with home, with the teams playing at home, essentially taking care of business to start. I think they're 8-0, right? Every team that played at home won. And there was really only two games that were, you know, single digits, mm-hmm. us and the Sixers. Yeah. Knicks game were the only single digit games. So that kind of shows you the talent level and, you know, how dominant, you know, the top seeds have been throughout the year and how that's kind of carried over outside of our two series to the playoffs.
I'm just glad that, like, I was so happy to see Joel back in that game. But you brought up the fact that, like, he looked scared. Lisa Salters mm-hmm. had an amazing report, you know, about the fact that she talked to him and how he just he has to learn how to trust himself again, you know, because he hurt himself, you know, since he's returned in that Pacers game, I believe. And that's kind of like what you saw. And, you know, you saw, like, did something happen or I felt something? Is it over? Like, you feel him just kind of like waiting for it to happen. And unfortunately, that's been kind of the case with him in the playoffs. It's just like it's a matter of when, not if, he's going to get hurt. And with, you know, basically him coming into these playoffs, coming off of, you know, surgery and rehab and it's going to be something you wonder if he can do a whole playoff stretch. Because, you know, you see that they have the talent right. when he's there. And he was playing out of his mind. I mean, that play, like, he hadn't dunked since he returned. And then he decided to, on that, you know, his first dunk, he was going to throw it off the backboard. And I think that was his way of testing out his knee. But, like, you know, does that ever happen to you? Like, for instance, with when you were dealing with your lung issues, you know, were you having to battle mentally? Like, can I trust it? And, you know, when you're in game, kind of help, like, prevent you from kind of being instinctual on the court?
I think for that, being an internal organ, it was just different in terms of just trying to protect it and making sure from a win standpoint and from a safety standpoint that I was okay and wasn't going to have any long-term issues. In terms of getting hit, I think that first time you get hit and nothing happens, you kind of snap out of it. For lower extremity injuries, it's different. You know, having some foot fractures in my career and, you know, I tore my popliteus and have gone through some ankle sprains. I think you're nervous about traffic, you know, playing in traffic, jumping and landing in traffic, depending on the severity of the injury that you've had, whether that's knee, calf, ankle, foot. You're more so worried about playing in traffic. I think that was the biggest worry when I came back from my fractured foot. It wasn't running. It wasn't jumping in space. It was running and playing in crowds with lots of people where, like, in the back of your mind, depending on how you got the injury, you're thinking, like, I don't want to land on someone's foot. I don't want anyone to be around me when I jump and land because of the flashbacks that you get, I think, at times from the injury. And then obviously you worry about your explosiveness and your ability to run, cut, jump at the level that you were at before the injury. So I think all those things kind of play in the back of your mind as a factor. And for him, you know, with his knees and him being heavy, and by heavy, I mean, like, much heavier than I am as a guard, you know, he's closer to 300 pounds than 200, you know, being in that 275 range. And the force that it takes to jump and land, the amount of people that he's around as a post player in the paint consistently. I think all those things, you know, can create a lot of anxiety and discomfort and fear, because you know, you could do everything right, and if you land on someone's foot or someone kind of traps you upon landing, then there could be issues for you.
And so he's questionable for game two. And you just think about, it's just a bummer. You know, injuries always happen. It's right. Part of the game. But when you think about all the injuries that playoff teams are dealing with right now, including Joel, because there's more to it than just questionable for game two. It's the history with him and right. Also the ceiling for that team. Then you think about, you know, Jimmy Butler out for at least 2 weeks with the Miami Heat going up against the Celtics, who, you know, obviously have been the best team in basketball all year. But when it comes to Miami Heat with a playoff Jimmy Butler, anything is possible. Then Kawhi, I was there yesterday. Basically, we should expect him possibly game two or three, the way that they were talking, like it's imminent. You know, they made the call upon arrival yesterday. So it's, they're just dealing with information there. Giannis is out, but Dame stepped up in his absence big time against Indiana. And of course, Zion. For you guys, when you think about the biggest injury in terms of, you know, impact on the team's overall, you know, playoff hopes, what's the injury you feel like is the most insurmountable right now?
Across the league?
Across the playoffs?
I think, obviously, us not having Zion, you know, is tough. And I could just speak from our perspective and point of view as to how well we've played historically with Zion, B.I., myself on the court, how well we were playing with him, you know, before he went out. I think that's a really tough blow. I think you look at the Knicks, you know, not having Randle for most of this season.
Thanks.
I think
that's another one. Good point.
That's a really tough blow because, you know, with the trades they made at the deadline, you were never really able to see them all kind of play together and what that could have looked like. And in spite of all that they went through, they still were able to win 50 games and finish second in the East. I think that was really impressive. Obviously, in beating the Sixers, you know, being able to see him and Maxey and Harris healthy together makes things very interesting for that series. And looking at the Miami Heat, you know, a team that was an 8 seed last year and ended up going to the finals, lost the first play-in game, won the second one. Mm-hmm. Not being able to see them fully healthy with Jimmy, obviously Terry Rozier, and the likes of the players that they currently have on the roster, would have just been interesting to see the differences that may have made against a really good Boston Celtics team. But I think, you know, being biased, you know, I look at us, you know, first because I'm a part of that, you know, with the Pelicans. And then I would say, I point to the Sixers because I'm really curious as to what a healthy Embiid looks like in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, if Embiid's healthy, I don't think anyone would be surprised to see them even in the Eastern Conference Finals and go toe-to-toe with Boston. As far as, you know, the West, outside of you guys, you know, what did you think of the dominant wins by the Nuggets and Clippers, who was more impressive to you?
I think the way the Nuggets play is just really impressive. Everyone's a star in their own role. Michael Porter shoots the ball really well. KCP defends at a high level, knocks down shots. Obviously, the Joker is all world, you know, does a little bit of everything, unstoppable. I think he had, you know, almost 100 touches, no turnovers, going through double teams. You know, obviously the efficiency in the paint, ability to manipulate a game. Aaron Gordon, you know, jack of all trades, can guard 1 through 5, plays in the dunker spot better than anybody we've seen. You know, great connection with Joker in their pick and rolls when Jamal comes off and hits the pocket. And then Jamal just being able to hit timely shots, them having to kind of respect the pick and roll, but also a guy that can ISO. And then their bench, love Peyton Watson. Love the defense. Thought that they were very strategic about playing DeAndre Jordan, looking at the substitution patterns and what Malone did with that team. They got off slow. I think having not played for a week affected them a little bit. And then they went on that run before half and then another run in the third quarter and kind of showed you, you know, the championship mentality. So I thought that was really impressive. And the Clippers, Clippers first half, you know, in terms of the intensity, the execution, how aggressive James came out, holding Dallas to what, 8 points in the second quarter or something like that. I think that was really impressive, doing all of that without Kawhi and seeing the depth of the Clippers and, you know, Terrence Mann, Amir Coffey, Russell, Norman Powell, Zubac, you know, gets a double double. They kind of showed, you know, how good they can be.
Right.
When things are rolling how it's supposed to.
Yeah. And look, and then they have a coach who's been there, who knows how to make adjustments. And that's exactly what Ty Lue said. He said, this is not a feel out game for us. We are not easing into this series. And that's exactly what they did from the get go. I mean, they attacked. It put the Mavericks on their heels. And they knew, you know, they said, we know that Luka and Kyrie are going to make big shots. And, you know, Kyrie had, 20 points in that third quarter. So, I mean, I think that series is far from over. You don't ever overreact to a game one. But, you know, the Clippers look formidable for sure. I mean, they have four future Hall of Famers. And, you know, one of them didn't even play. And the Mavericks, you know, came into these playoffs looking like one of the better teams in the league, on quite a roll. But they're they got eaten alive by Zubac. So you know, we'll see what kind of adjustments both Kidd and Ty Lue make. But that certainly is going to be a really interesting series. I don't see that one being a quick series in the least. And you know, I don't think that they're going to be on their heels, the Mavericks, that is, in game two. And if they are, then I think that says something about more so the Clippers than it does the Mavericks.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right. Well, look, you got game two tomorrow.
No, Wednesday.
No, Wednesday. Gosh, these playoffs are so spread out. Oh, two days in OKC. How many stakes are you going to have?
two stakes in so far.
If anyone doesn't know, OKC does have a real good steakhouse scene. Okay. So if you're planning a trip to Oklahoma City, just know you're going to have a good steak.
Yeah. No, you're definitely going to have a good steak. The weather's been nice. It's really just fun to compete at the highest level in the playoffs, you know, in a hostile environment. So I'm looking forward to game two, looking forward to tightening up some things I can be better at, trying to look from within and figure out how to be more efficient, you know, how to not turn the ball over. I think I had 3 turnovers. Some defensive assignments, you know, not giving up and-ones. You know, Shea's big pivotal bucket down the stretch was an and-one on me. Just trying to be better in those aspects and figuring out strategically how we can be better as a team. I think it's going to be really cool to see the adjustments that we make from game to game, along with the rest of the league. This is the best time to be able to watch basketball. This is the best time in the NBA where it's really competitive and you're able to really see the brilliance in, you know, all the individual players and collectively all the teams and coaching staff as to how much time, effort, and energy goes into, you know, each night making changes.
Do you the nominees for all of the end of the year awards came out? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're playing against the season's MVP right now?
I think you could give it to any one of him, Joker and Luka. So I think it's just a voter's decision. Like, he's an MVP caliber player. So is Luka. So is Joker. The stats are what they are. Gaudy numbers from all of them. I think it's just a matter of what the voter values, and it seems to change each year. So it's hard to say who's going to win. Joker is probably going to win, but I mean, Luka's basically averaging 35, 10 and 10, which is insane. And Shai just took the youngest team in the NBA to the first.
Yeah. That's the MVP. That's where we usually are at. There's an argument for each.
There's an argument for each one. That's very valid. That is super valid and can be backed by facts, data and evidence. So I think this just that's showing you where this game is at today, that there's three different people who could literally win it. And the fourth is Joel, who was hurt, who could also have won it if he wasn't hurt. And you could have a great argument for all of them.
You know who we didn't bring up at all, and I think is probably my favorite moment from the weekend, was the Timberwolves win over the Suns. And Anthony Edwards talking to Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant smiling, and the post game being like, everyone knows that that's my greatest player of all time, and you know talking him up in the playoffs, and that competitive battle was one of the best moments of his life. And I just, that was just,
it's cool,
so cool. It was so great. All the feels. And you know, what do you think of Anthony Edwards? I mean, he, like, what a big personality he has. Kind of has a throwback style. You know, could he be, you know, that next big star in this league?
He is one of them ones. He's very good, both sides of the ball, competitor, shooting, finishing around the basket, isolation, mid-post, uses the backboard well, can play in the mid-range, which is what you need in the playoffs and in late in games. Has gotten so much more comfortable shooting threes off the bounce, whether that's iso, pick and roll, transition. He's the real deal, and the sky's the limit for him.
It certainly is.
Once again, we want to thank all our listeners for tuning in to the CJ McCollum Show with me, CJ McCollum, and the Cassidy Hubbard.
Oh, I got a B.
Thanks for joining us. Remember to hit the like button, subscribe on YouTube, and follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. Stay tuned for another exciting episode next week. We'll catch you then. And in the meantime, cheer for the Pelicans. Cheer for the Pelicans.
And then you're going to get some cheers. I mean, OKC has a great home crowd, but I will tell you, your Pelicans home crowd during the playoffs, I'll put it up with anybody's experience there. So I'm sure you're itching to get home.
It's going to be rocking, and we're looking forward to it.
All right. Good luck in game 2.
I appreciate it. Thank you.